you to be able to stand with me. And I want to collectively read this portion of the Word of God. And I'm going to put it up on the screen. I'm going to read it off the screen with you. Okay, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and when he writes to the church of Corinth, he's writing to them about forgiveness. And when he talks about forgiveness, he's talking about how sometimes we can't forgive in our hearts. And he talks about how he is at a distance been offended, but he's still able to release it. And he says, guys, I wish you guys would be able to release it because you're not getting the big picture. You're mad with this person, and you shouldn't be mad with this person because he's not your true enemy. He's saying that the war is not against flesh and blood in Ephesians, but here he says, guys, you're mad at the wrong purpose. You're unfocused. And then he says this statement, which is so powerful, which is where I want to depart from today. As we go into the second stone of David, the Bible says David picked up five stones, but there was only one giant in the Bible, and he knocks him down with the first stone. So we ask ourselves, why did David pick up five? And it's because if you go into Scripture in the book of Chronicles, you'll see that Goliath had, some say it was his brothers, some say it was his children, but there were four more giants. So David picked up five stones. He didn't know why, because he wasn't aware of that information, but he picked up five because he had been, number one, alone with God. And being alone with God, that's the first stone. He's able to knock down Goliath. And I want to teach you about stone number two. But before I teach you about stone number two, I want you to look at this Bible verse, and I want us to read it in accord, all together, choir mode. And I want you to read it because I want you to focus on the importance of what I'm teaching today. Today we're teaching spiritual warfare, and the reason we're teaching it is not because we have a war to win. The war was won at cross of Calvary. The problem is us having the victory, we decide to live in defeat. And Satan takes advantage of us. So together we read the following verse. I'll start it with you and I'll drop out. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, everybody, it says, in order that Satan might not outwit us. Let's read that again, okay? Let's read that again. This is why we're teaching this. Ready? We're teaching this. Ready? From the beginning. One, two, three. In order that Satan might not outwit us. Everybody continue. For we are not unaware of his schemes. We are not unaware of his schemes. Paul is saying, guys, so Satan doesn't outwit you, you need to be aware of his schemes. Let's talk about one of his schemes today. Father, I pray that you equip me as I teach your word, Lord, as I dive into this. Holy Spirit of God, you're my best friend, and I know what you're capable of doing. So I pray that you equip me and that you break all bondage from the saints, all distractions that are taking them away from the true revelation of the word that you have for them today. Jesus, I know you're in the house. I can feel your spirit. So now, Lord, help me teach the body of Christ about how Satan's at work, what he's really trying to do. And let us not ignore the schemes that are hurting us and how he's outwitting us. And that today the body of Christ leave, Lord, empowered by something that makes them stronger. Because that's why we come to church. We come here to strengthen our spiritual life and walk out for a week of victory. Help me equip the saints, Lord, and just pour yourself through me, Holy Spirit of God. Pour yourself through me. May my words, the words come out of my mouth, be you. Speak to your people. I raise the bar in your name because I know who you are and I know what you're capable of doing. I believe it with all my heart and I declare it, Lord Jesus. In your name, we bless your word and we need your word. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, church. David and Goliath, and they're at this mountain, and they're standing there. And what I want you to understand is that before David's arrival, Goliath, for those that don't know the story, is this big, gigantic giant of the Philistines. And the Philistine army has come face to face with them. Now, I showed you last week, and for those that weren't here, you could catch it up on internet, or those that are watching online, you go back to last week's sermon. But they're on this mountain, and literally they're facing each other, geographically, they're facing each other, and in almost a U form. It's almost a U form. They're standing on one mountain. The body of the army of Israel is standing on one mountain, and they're standing like this, and they're facing that way. And on the contrary mountain facing them is the army of the Philistines. Now, the funny thing about it is that at the level they're on, at the hill, they're able to see each other face to face. So the whole army is standing there face to face, ready to go into battle. And when they're ready to go into battle, there's a valley in the middle, and they're both going to go down into the valley, and they're going to fight in the valley. That's where the war is going to occur. So they're about to go in, and the Bible declares that at the moment they're about to go in, and we hear this story, this one man stands out called Goliath, and he stands out, and he starts defying the army of God. He literally starts defying them. And when it says defying, I am going to be politically correct and not repeat his defiance. Because some of you want the truth, but you can't handle the truth. All right? And if you don't know what that means, you missed iChurch or Wednesday. But if I were to tell you what really happened there, it would be so such a blasphemy to you that some of you would never return to the church. But if I told you the story the way it was, you might actually understand what was really happening and why David was so upset. See, when David gets there, this giant has gone into the valley, which is kind of odd, and I'll teach you next week about some things about his shield bearer, and actually it'll be Josue teaching you. He'll teach you about the shield bearer, and he'll teach you about what they're doing. But what I want you to understand before I could teach this lesson is that Scripture says, and I'm not going to go into that because of time, but just to catch up, Scripture says, and I'll post this on the internet for you guys, Scripture says that this world does not belong to us, according to John. It says that the world belongs to Satan. And if you understand that this world belongs to Satan and not to us, you wouldn't be so caught up in so many problems you have, because you would understand that this world belongs to Satan. So to those that jot down notes in John 14:30, look it up in your house. It says that Satan is the governor of this world. If you look, and then if you go to 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says that Satan comes to blind the mind. And I have a great illustration of that. I taught it last night in Charlotte. He blinds this world. So he's the owner of this world, according to John 14:30. And according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, he blinds our sight so we can't see. And then after he's the owner of this world, and after he blinds us, the Bible talks about us not letting ourselves become friends with this world, because we're blind and we're going to fall into a trap. Okay, now having said that, they're at the mountain. Follow me. They're at the mountain looking at each other. Satan's the prince of this world. Satan's in the prince of this world. I'm doing this to catch you up. I'm trying to catch you up to where I was. I'm trying to catch you up to where I am. Okay, Satan is the prince of this world. There's an army of the Philistines, which represents Satan's demons. And Goliath represents Satan. He stands out. He is the prince of this world. The army of God is on the contrary side, and they are the Israelites. And when they're standing there, the army who has the favor of God, they're about to go into war. And I want everybody to imagine this in their mind. Imagine if you've ever seen the movie Braveheart, one of my favorite movies. If you've ever seen the movie Braveheart, you could grasp this. You get it in your mind. If you've ever seen 300, you grab this in your mind. They're about to go. Somebody's going to cry out a war cry, okay, which is probably going to be the king. And he's going to say, "Let's go in the name of Jehovah." And all of a sudden, the army of God is going to go down into the valley, and the Philistines are going to come down, and they're going to go just collide and have war. Okay? No nuclear bombs, no machine guns, hand-on-hand battle. Bloody battle right there on the valley. When they're all pumped up and they're ready to go, they're there. The army of God is ready to go. Ready? And King Saul stands up. He's like, "You guys ready? You guys ready? Who do we got? Jehovah. Who do we got? Jehovah. Who do we got? Jehovah. Who's giving us our battle? Jehovah. On one." And you say, "Pastor, you're exaggerating." No, I'm not even giving you one-fourth of what happened there. I'm not even giving you one-fourth of what happened there. All right? If I show you how these words were achieved, you would freak out. Okay, you would freak out if I showed you what happened biblically and what was the custom there. But they're there, and they're ready, and they're going to go, and they're ready. Who do we got? And then all of a sudden, their army is standing there, and this one tall dude, 9 feet, 6 inches, comes walking down. And he's got this armor on, and he's got a small shield bearer with him. And as he's walking down, he stands in the middle of the valley. Now, you got to understand that the valley means it's a lower place than where the army of Israel was. And they're looking at him. So what's happening now is that this giant Goliath is down there, and he says, "Hey! You Israelites, your God is..." And at that point is where we put the sound to go beep, 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 beep. And yes, it kept on going. Beep, 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 beep. Blank. Ah, because he's a beep, 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 beep. And you are a beep, you mother beeps. And he kept on beeping all afternoon. And he kept on beeping and beeping for 3 straight days. Okay, now here's what I want you to understand. When I was in school, I remember moving to Puerto Rico at one point, and it was funny because I was the gringo there, and that's hilarious, right? And me being the gringo there, I made it there, and I walked into school. When I walked into school, I remember them, the guys in the school, making fun of me because I was the gringo. And because I was the gringo, they made fun of me, and I was all right with that. And I would go there. I remember I used to wear a windbreaker. Anybody know what a windbreaker is? Anybody know what a windbreaker is? Thank you for all the 80s people here. Thank God. My PM service, I'm like a windbreaker. They'd go, huh? A windbreaker? Is that like a sail? I wear my windbreaker and my Walkman. Anyone know what a Walkman is? Come on, man. Those are the coolest things ever. You hear the tape. You hear a song. You want to hear the song before you So I had my Walkman and my windbreaker to school. And I walked into this school where nobody had a Walkman and nobody had a windbreaker. They first thing they did is they stole my Walkman. And after they stole my Walkman, they beat me up for my Walkman. I was all right. And one day, they came and they took my windbreaker. They told me it was ridiculous that if I thought I was a bebopper. And I tried to win the crowd. So I said, yeah, I could do this. I could do this. I could do a windmill. Some of you don't know what a windmill is. I could do a windmill. I could do a windmill and just pull out a piece of cardboard and watch me do a windmill on the floor. You know, I was dance team. I could dance back in the day. I could dance. Someday I'll do a windmill right here for you guys. One day I'll do a windmill right here. So, and I was ready to do my thing. And you know what they did? They said, no, do it on the cement. And I just wanted to turn. They beat me up and took my windbreaker too. After, yeah, I know, that's the part you guys go, ah, come on, man, some sympathy, my God, tough crowd. And then they took away my windbreaker, they took away my Walkman. I was still all right. Until I made it to school, and I couldn't weigh more than 98 pounds, 100 pounds, really skinny dude. I was really skinny. I was skinny, and the funny thing is, you guys see my son, they're both skinny. I was skinnier than them and shorter than them, too. All right, so I'm there at school, and these kids are picking on me until they talked about my mama. I don't know about you guys, but you can't. You just, there's some things you can't talk about. You can't talk about my mama. You talk about my mama, you know. I could talk about my mama, but you don't talk about my mama.